Yeah, I really like this album. There's so much stuff you can sort of sink your ears into with the music on this disc. And the fact that it's all brand new, that it was all commissioned by you two gentlemen, it's really just, I think, a wonderful album that a lot of people need to hear. So we're going to talk about it right now. But before we do that, I wonder if you could introduce yourselves to our listeners and tell us a little bit how you came together as the Duo Noir.
Absolutely. So my name's Thomas, and I came to the guitar after hearing a recording of Segovia playing, and then years later, I somehow ended up at the Yale School of Music, and it was a summer program at the Norfolk Music Festival, and Chris was there as another guitarist who was about to join me at the Yale School of Music, and our teacher, Ben Verdery, decided to put us together as a duo to premiere a piece written by this Juilliard composer, Raymond Lustig. And then, Chris, do you want to take it from there?
So, you know, I started playing guitar when I was around 12 years old, playing rock guitar like many people, and then continued up until college, and then started playing classical. And then, you know, after Thomas and I met at the Norfolk and we went to Yale together, we kind of just started working a lot more with Ray Lustig and commissioning him to write more pieces for the guitar, for two guitars. And, you know, we just started realizing that our voice, we really both enjoyed new music on classical guitar, and that, you know, that we wanted a certain style of music written for the classical guitar that wasn't so guitar centric, that sounded like that was written for the guitar by a guitarist, which is kind of what we were looking for in this album as well. Kind of, you know, I'd say most of the composers, except for one, are non-guitarists, which kind of, I think, what gives it that unique sound and kind of, you know, different flavor throughout each track.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because one of my questions was, in listening to this, you know, what's the difference between working with a composer who is a performer on your instrument as well, and working with composers who maybe have written for the instrument but don't really play it? Do you sense a difference? And then what is it that you are attracted to about composers that are not guitarists?
Well, that's a great question. I think we actually really intentionally chose not to get a lot of guitarist composers for the album. We really sought out people who had no experience writing for the guitar, or who definitely did not play the guitar, who were composers first and foremost. So they all went to like these great composition programs around the country or around the world. And the difference between a guitarist composer and a composer, a lot of the guitarist composers you find are actually self-taught composers. So they're really accomplished guitarists who then start just playing music and writing music for fun. Whereas composers do very rigorous training. So I guess if I had to boil it down to one thing, it's just the composers who aren't guitarists come up with ideas that are so strikingly different from what's already out there. And I think you feel that when you listen to the album. Like, it's music and sounds for two guitars that I have never heard something sound like that before. And it's really cool. The downside of it is that it's, you know, like, this is, it's kind of a cool process, but it's a lot of work kind of showing the composers what the guitar can do. Like, this one composer on the album, Courtney Bryan, came over to my apartment in Harlem, and we just sat down at the keyboard. I had my guitar, and I just showed her dozens and dozens of things that the guitar could do, and she was asking me about this and that. And that's just one example of, like, kind of the process of working with a non-guitarist composer.
Yeah.
Also, I was just going to say about working with non-guitarist composers, you know, you just get a lot of, you know, different and unusual sounds come out of the guitar, because I think when a guitarist composes for a guitar, they know the instrument so well that they kind of use things that work very well. You know, there's just certain techniques and certain, like, movable chords that you can use if you know the guitar very well. And a non-guitarist is just going to come at it completely open, you know, like an open book, and they're just going to do things that usually wouldn't be done. And we were so lucky. We've always been really lucky with the composers that we worked with, because another thing that happens when you work with a non-guitarist composer and is that, you know, a lot of times you'll get something that is completely unplayable. And almost everything that we got, you know, like, we sat down and started playing it. You know, there was very little editing that we had to do. And, you know, I don't know if we're just lucky or if we picked composers that were just like, you know, meant to write for their guitar, but you know, it's been really, really great, you know, just to sit down and be able to play through the stuff, you know, just little edits here and there. But, you know, we didn't have any like 7-note chords, you know, things that like, you know, with too many fingers that would have to play or anything. So, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah. You may just be extremely virtuosic as well.
You know, it's probably that. It's probably that.
Now, it should be said that all the composers on this disc are female composers, and I assume that was a conscious choice on your part.
Absolutely. And it was a series of events leading up to this moment, this epiphany in 2015 that we had, of just kind of starting to, like, notice. And I can't think of an analogy, but it's just like one day you wake up and then you see the world. It's like the Matrix, that scene at the end where Neo, he like all of a sudden he like comes back and he sees the world in code, you know. Mm-hmm. And for the first time for me, like after, you know, I went to this Eric Clapton guitar marathon and it was like 15 acts over 4 hours and every single one of them was a man. And then this major guitar society announced its concert season and it was all men playing music by all men. My eyes were just opened, and I just couldn't see things differently. And it would have been wrong for us to continue to kind of perpetuate this kind of male dominance in classical music. So we decided to do something about it.
Yeah.
And got this grant and started seeking out some of the most talented composers we could find who just happened to be women.
That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And that was an intentional choice, too, because, you know, it's not like we're the first musicians to ever make like an album of one demographic or gender. But I think we intentionally wanted to make sure that it was all new music written for our time and kind of to speak to the era we're living in and the technology that we're living in, which is a cool thing about Mary Kayumjian's piece using electronics.
Right.
But also that it wasn't like tokenism, you know, like it's not just that the composers are women, because people have done that. And a lot of times the music hasn't been very good, which is a disservice to trying to heal this kind of gender disparity. But it was that the music is awesome. The composers are really incredibly brilliant. And they just happen to be women. And that was really important to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you 100% about the brilliance of the pieces on this disc. And they're so different and so varied. There's a lot of mystery. There's a lot of almost, I would say, exoticism, but also a lot of humor going on in these pieces. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about that commissioning process. You mentioned you got a grant, but then do you identify these composers and you say, this is what we're looking for, this is the amount of time? Were you thinking of putting this all together on an album? Was that part of the original commission?
Yeah, it was. We did want to kind of like have it culminate into an album. So we were very conscious of thinking of a time frame for each piece. So we did, you know, kind of tell the composers that we wanted 10 minutes long, you know, and we did. It was very, very slight guidelines. And I think that the composers did their research and they knew what we were into. And, you know, that's why, you know, a lot of the music is dark and mysterious and humorous, is because we're both kind of into a little bit of darker music and we're both a little bit goofy. And, you know, we had a lot of conversations with the composers before they wrote for us. And I think that they're all very mindful and conscious of what they were doing when they were writing for us, and that they were thinking, they were really thinking about what we liked, who we were, when they were writing these pieces. Yeah.
I have to say, duo noir sounds much better than the dark and goofy duo, but I see what you're saying. Let's talk a little bit about some of the pieces on here, because I really want to share these with our listeners. Now, the title piece, The Night Triptych, three different movements here, can you pronounce the composer's name for me?
Sure, Golfam Kayyem.
Okay, just like it looks, Golfam Kayyem. Now, she is a guitarist, right? She is the guitarist composer you were talking about.
And she is an interesting story on the album, because we had actually gotten enough music to complete the album and we were just preparing to record it. And then out of nowhere, she had friended me on Facebook and then you know, I accepted the friend request. And then like a couple of weeks later, she posted this NPR feature about her. and her music with her clarinet and guitar duo in Iran that was released on ECM Records. And I checked out the article, and then I listened to the recording, and I was blown away by how awesome the writing was and how, like, complete... I had never heard anything like it. So we just decided, like, hey, man, her music is incredible. Let's just reach out to her.
Yeah.
And we just contacted her, told her about the project, asked her if she'd be interested. She said yes, and then she wrote such an awesome, incredible piece that we ended up naming the album after it because it perfectly encapsulated what we were feeling musically and conceptually about the album. So she was just phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think her title speaks to the music a little bit, the Night Triptych, because it's kind of hypnotic, the music. It kind of wraps you up inside of itself. It's a really interesting listen. Let's talk about some of the other works on here. Clarice Assad, of course, she has sort of a guitar pedigree through her father, Sergio Assad. And her piece, entitled Hocus Pocus, has a lot of humor in there. Can you talk a little bit about that piece?
Yeah, you know, that's one of my favorite pieces. And I think it's really, you know, it's a piece that, you know, at first we were kind of hesitant to play for, you know, kind of like a general audience or a classical guitar audience because of the middle movement, which features, you know, about 4 minutes of spoon solo traded off between the two of us. And, you know, it's funny because we recently played in Pennsylvania and we were debating, like, you know, is this too crazy? And we ended up doing it. And after the concert, I'd say that everyone who came up to us to talk to us about the program said that that was the highlight of the program, you know, and we kind of have our own spoon solo, you know, mine is a little bit darker, and then Thomas pulls out two spoons and makes it funny. So, like, you know, it really kind of balances out. We thought a lot about the spoon solo, so that's fun. And then, you know, the first movement has a lot of different extended guitar techniques and a lot of trading off, really kind of like shooting in between the two of us. And then the third movement is the least humorous of them all. And it's kind of like a 5 minute marathon of, you know, really fast scales and really cool arpeggios. You know, it's a really great, well-balanced piece. And it's a piece that we got and was completely fingered and just ready to go. We really had like very little back and forth. You know, there's a couple of tiny things that we changed, and Clarice was so great to work with. She's like, I love it. You guys are awesome. We're like, cool.
That's the best of all worlds, I guess.
Yeah.
When it comes together like that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was really struck by that last piece by Gabrielle Smith. I've heard some of her other music, and this one named after a poem that she had written, Loop the Fractal Hold of Rain, which in itself is sort of like a, you know, an enigma wrapped in a mystery kind of title. But listening to the piece, when it begins, I thought it was somebody making noise with their mouths instead of the guitar at first.
Ah.
It's a really interesting approach. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. There's an interesting story about that. But first, I met Gabriella, like this wonderful composer who helped us after we got the grant from the Diller Quail School of Music. Sarah Kirkland Snyder turned us on to Gabriella, and it turned out she was having her piece premiered by Bang on a Can in New York City at Merkin Hall, Kaufman Hall. And I showed up and I heard her piece premiere. It was gorgeous. I went up to her afterwards, and we had been emailing at that point. And she agreed to write for us. And once we got the piece, she intentionally decided not to make it virtuosic with like crazy left-hand scale stuff, but to make it more about kind of these developing grooves and loops of arpeggios and stuff. And once we got the piece, that opening section that you thought sounded like someone singing, she sent us a video of what she was talking, like what she was going for, of her playing it on a steel string guitar. So she's like holding the guitar in this really weird contorted way. Her right hand is over the neck of the guitar. Her left hand is holding a slide and then sliding up the strings with this glass slide in a really crazy way. And it was really cool working with her because she was able to kind of demonstrate some things because she plays the ukulele for fun. So she had like an intimate knowledge of how the guitar kind of works fundamentally.
Yeah, but no spoons, right?
No spoons. Not for that one.
but we do use a slide, so.
Yeah. As far as extended techniques go, I mean, what is the most adventurous thing that you've been asked to do by a modern composer?
Huh. That's a good question, you know.
Let's put it to a vote, Chris. I'm going to say it's Golfham asking us to use chopsticks and a pencil eraser.
That's exactly what I was going to go for. I've never used, I mean, it wasn't even chopsticks. It's a barbecue stick. When I looked at the score and it said, take out barbecue stick here, I was like, what? and it was kind of cool because, you know, it really kind of almost, she left it up to our interpretation and, yeah. And
a wooden stick, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a wooden barbecue stick. Yeah. That, yeah, I had to do my research on barbecue sticks, actually.
And for my part, she just wrote, take out mallet. And then I had to go through this process of researching different types of mallets I could hit the guitar with until I finally discovered, like, the exact type of pencil I needed and the exact type of eraser that I should put on top of the pencil to get the sound that you hear in the second movement, Quasi Furioso.
I'll resist pointing out the irony that your last name is Mallet as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we usually just ignore that.
It could, you know, be a completely different meaning that she had in mind there. Well, leave that for the next album. Speaking of which, what are your plans for the future with this duo?
Well, I don't know if it's a secret yet, but we are conceptualizing our next album. Mm-hmm. It's going to be different, but it's going to be more all new commissions from around the world, from very, very different composers that we have in mind. But yeah, so stay tuned. We'll let you know about that.
Excellent.
We definitely do want to keep, though, on the track of bringing new music to Guitar Duo, because there have been a lot of people bringing new music for solo guitar, and Sharon Isbin has been a champion of guitar and orchestra. And, you know, I think part of our mission now is to bring new music for two guitars.
Yeah, that's great.
So, yeah.
Well, the album is called Night Triptych, and this is from New Focus Recordings, right? It's just out this month, or last month, actually. If folks want to connect with you on the internet, social media, where do they go?
We've got a webpage, www.duonoir, with an E at the end, so NOIRE.com, and we also are on Facebook.
Okay, great to hear it. Well, congratulations on this wonderful album, Thomas Flippin and Christopher Mallet, guitarists for Duo Noir, and we will link to your website from our website as well at WGTE.org. Best of luck with this album and with your future efforts, and thanks for joining us here on FM 91.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.